Hey, come on, let's open your Bible. Flip over to Joshua 3. As you do that, I just want to open with a word of prayer and just dive into message number 2 on the other side. Father, we love you. We thank you for your heart, your presence, Lord. We thank you for just this incredible atmosphere. We thank you for your church. We thank you that as a church, God, Lord, that our eyes and our ears are open, our hearts are open, Father, to your voice. Lord, our hearts are open, Father God, to your hand leading and guiding us. And Holy Spirit, we pray, let your word feed us this morning. Let your word, Father God, feed us, inspire us, change us, challenge us, God, to be all that you've called us to be. In Jesus' name, and all the church said, amen, 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 amen. Title of my message, part 2 of getting to the other side is Wet Feet Faith. Wet Feet Faith. And I can't wait to preach this, so I'm just going to dive in. If you're in Joshua 3, if you brought your Bible, I encourage you to follow along with us. If not, we'll do the work for you behind us. And if you're online, we'd like to welcome you as well. And we want you to not just watch church, we want you to be the church. Amen? God never called us to watch church. God called us to be the church. And so it says in Joshua 3, I'm going to read the whole chapter. It's that good. It says, early the next morning, Joshua and all the Israelites left Acacia Grove and arrived at the banks of the Jordan River where they camped before crossing. So the backstory of this, if you know your Bible, if you read the book of Joshua, is that the backstory of this in chapter 1, obviously, Moses is dead. Joshua has now been deputized. God just gave him an incredible amount of charge and faith. And Joshua, you can do it. Chapter 2, flip the page. They had to go search out the land that God had promised, the promised land. And so they sent the spies, Rahab, the prostitute. How many know God can use anybody? That's what I love. That's what I love about the book of Joshua. And so Rahab, she protected the spies. The spies said, yep, hey, we're all good. Time to go get the promised land that God has been promising us for generation after generation after generation. And so they are. They're camped right at the banks of the Jordan River. Verse 2. 3 days later, the Israelite officers went through the camp, giving these instructions to the people. When you see the Levitical priest carrying the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God, move, somebody shout move, move out from your positions and do what? Follow them. Since you have never traveled this way before, you should underline that verse in your Bible, verse 4. Since you have never traveled this way before, they will guide you. Man, I could stop at any point, but I'm going to keep reading. It says, stay about a half a mile behind them, keeping a clear distance between you and the ark. Make sure you don't come any closer. Verse 5. Then Joshua told the people, purify. Do what, y'all? Purify yourselves. Come on, you got to work with me. Do what? Purify yourselves. For tomorrow, the Lord will do great wonders among you. Verse 7, the Lord told Joshua, today I will begin to make you a great leader in the eyes of all the Israelites. They will know I am with you just as I was with Moses. For give this command to the priests who carry the Ark of the Covenant. When you reach the banks of the Jordan River, take a few steps into the river and stop. Somebody yell, stop. It says stop there. So Joshua told the Israelites, come and listen to what the Lord your God says. Today you will know that the living God, I'm so glad we serve a God that's alive. The living God is among you. For surely he will drive out the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Hivites, the Perizzites, the Girgashites, the Amorites, the Jebusites, and all the other ites, brothers. He will drive them out. He will lead you across the Jordan River, verse 12. Now choose 12 men from the tribes of Israel, one from each tribe. The priests will carry the ark of the Lord of all the earth, as soon as their feet touch the water. As soon as they touch the water. As soon as their feet touch the water, the flow of water will be cut off. It will be shut down upstream, and the river will stand up like a wall. So the people left the camp to cross the Jordan, and the priests who carrying the Ark of the Covenant went ahead of them. It was the harvest season. The Jordan was overflowing its banks. But as soon as the feet of the priests who were carrying the ark touched the water at the river's edge, the water above that point began backing up a great distance away at a town called Adam, which is near Zarethan. And the water below that point flowed onto the Dead Sea until the riverbed was dry. Then all, how many people? All, shout it, say all. It says, then all the people crossed over near the town of Jericho. Last verse. Meanwhile, the priests who were carrying the Ark of the Lord's Covenant, meanwhile, they're still in the riverbed. The priests who were still carrying the arks of the Ark of the Lord's Covenant, they stood on dry ground in the middle of the riverbed as the people passed by. They waited until the whole nation of Israel had crossed the Jordan on dry ground. What a chapter. What a story. What an incredible demonstration of God's power, God's faithfulness, God's supernatural ability. Hey, listen, what was happening at the very beginning in Joshua 3, actually all through the book of Joshua, it's a fighting book, y'all. It's a bloody book. It's a book about battling. It's a book about claiming hold of a promise. It's a book about God, if you said it, then God, you're going to help us finish it. Amen? It's a book about giving God's people a double portion of being strong and being courageous. In Joshua 1, actually, God told Joshua 3 times. One, not once, not twice, but 3. It took them 3 times to say, Joshua, be strong. Joshua, be courageous. He needed to get that down on the inside of his soul. I'm speaking that over you this morning. Jubilee, be strong this morning. Jubilee, be courageous this morning. Amen. I'm going to get that down in your soul this morning. For you see, there is no blessing unless there's a fight. Amen. On the backside of every blessing, on the backside of God's promises, there is a fight. For you see, entitlements is the opposite. Consumption without contribution. Did you catch that? An entitlement is going to say, well, I deserve that. I deserve. But God's blessing says you're going to have to fight. Amen. You're going to somehow have to put one foot in front of the other, and you're just going to have to trust God. It's sort of like being a parent. I was having this conversation with my 9-year-old daughter the other day, and my amazing mother-in-law, she was not helping the cause. Grandparents, they're such great enablers, amen? They're amazing enablers. And so she was saying, we're having this conversation about stuff. Moms and dads, have you ever had a conversation about stuff? Like, how much stuff is enough? And so I was having this conversation with her, and she was just saying, well, Daddy, what are you going to do? What are you going to do for me? Daddy, what are you going to buy for me? Daddy, what are you going to, dot, dot, dot. I said, stop. Listen, let me tell you what I do for you every day. You know where I'm going for this, dads, don't you? You got a roof over your head. I feed you 3 meals, sometimes 4 meals a day. I don't make you walk anywhere. You get to ride in a car. And guess what? Those clothes that you're wearing, I provided those. So you want to know what I'm going to do for you today? I'm going to allow you to sleep. I'm going to allow you to eat. I'm going to allow you to drink. And I'm going to allow you to wear your clothes. And then my incredible mother-in-law walks and says, now, honey, that's just you being a dad. I'm like, don't jump in the middle of this. I'm trying to prove a point. Because if I just give you everything, where's the fight, amen? Where's the faith? Where's the ability to walk it out? So go clean your room and I'll give you $1, amen? Go sweep the floors, I'll give you 50 cents. Go wash the dog and I won't give you anything. Come on, consumption without contribution, it never works in life. It never works in parenting, amen? Never, 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 never. Hear me, moms and dads and grandmas. Don't be enablers in your kids' life. Require something out of them for the love of Jesus. If everything is always given to them, they never learn the discipline of fighting. They never learn the discipline of working. They never learn the discipline of faith. They never learn the discipline of trusting God. Why do they need God if they have Jehovah Dad? Yeah, I knew I'd get you fired up on that one. And all the kids are next door. We can say whatever we want in here, moms and dads. Hey, listen, God understood. You know, God knows us, y'all. God knows us. God understood his people back then. God understood that at some point, they're going to get blessing amnesia. That like throughout the, and I don't have time to preach the whole book. I'm just in chapter 3 this morning. But throughout the whole book of Joshua, and we talked about the story of Gideon for several weeks. Joshua leads into Gideon. And it's amazing how God's people, you and I, are no different. It happened thousands of years ago, and it happens today. We get blessing amnesia. We forgot what God has done for us, that somehow, some way, he won't do it now, but yet he did it 5 years ago or 10 years ago or yesterday, and we get blessing amnesia. God's people back then are no different than you and I sitting in our chair this morning. So that's why at the end of Joshua, and I encourage you this week, read the book of Joshua. At the end of Joshua, Joshua just took the time to sit down, and he was just, I want to speak this over our joy groupers, just older youth. Folks that are just slightly above the age limit to drive, times two or three. Joshua, he sat down and he was allowing, or he was pouring into the younger generation. He was saying, hey, remember, let me remind you of the goodness of God, of the battles that we won. Why? Because it's important for that generation to remind me, to remind us, to remind our younger generation how good God is. So I want to shake off the notion that somehow, some way, when your hair starts getting a little bit grayer, that somehow, some way, God can't use you. I want to shake that off of this church. We need you like never before. Amen? Why? Because you have wisdom. Why? Because you've done a few things. You've walked through a few battles. You've seen the faithfulness of God. Amen? You've been tested, and you're still standing. Amen? So if you're a senior, whatever age group you think that may be, I want to challenge you this morning. I want you to go grab young people. I want you to pour your wisdom, your knowledge, your wealth of experience. I want you to pour that in them like never before. This church needs you. Are you hearing me? We need you. We need you serving and loving and pouring and reproducing yourself. For you see, Jubilee is a multi-ethnic, multi-generational church. And the only way that we're going to be that way is if you, me, us, if we're reaching generationally, amen? We're reaching across people that don't look like us, don't talk like us, didn't come from the same side of the tracks, amen? Hello? If all I do is surround myself by the same pacey white people the way that I look, then I'm missing out on God's blessing, amen? If all I surround myself with is a bunch of people that wear polo shirts, although I do like wearing a polo shirt, if I never surround myself with other people from other opinions and other walks of life and other experiences, I will not be all that God's called me to do. Amen? Invite them in your house. Have them over for coffee. Serve somebody. Amen? Thank you. It's a truth of life that for every promise, you should write this down. It's a truth of life that for every promise, there's a price tag. Every promise. Every promise. Anything that has any value to it, it's going to cost you and I something. Write that down. Anything that has value to it, it's going to cost you something. For you see, on the other side of Jordan was God's promised land for his people. It had been declared for years, centuries before, God to Abraham. I'm going to make you father of Jews. I'm going to bless you. I'm going to bless those that bless you. There's this great land carved out for you. Genesis closes. Exodus opens up in the Bible. He has to speak to Moses. Hey, move, go rescue your people. Get them out of bondage. Tell Pharaoh to let my people go. I'm setting you all free. He had to walk. He had to move. And between standing between what God said to what he's going to do, it's called the Jordan. It's called the Jordan. And how many knew all of us face Jordan rivers in our lives? All of us do. It is an inevitable. Now, what stands between what the Jordan River represents is the boundary between the wilderness and the promised land. Joshua's led the Israelites. He led them right to the Jordan River. The promised land is right over there. They can see it. The Bible says they camped out right at the foot for how many days? 3 days. Can you imagine the conversation that was happening amongst the hundreds of thousands of people that had been wandering, that had been praying, that had been whining, that had been complaining? Joshua led them all the way right to the edge. And that's where they camped out for 3 days. First day, I can hear him. Oh man, God's gonna do something amazing. It's gonna happen. I can't wait. I'm so excited. I'm putting on my suntan lotion. I'm putting on my flippers just in case the water doesn't close up all the way. I've got my vest on. I'm ready to do it. Day two comes around. Well, maybe he will. I don't know what God's doing, but maybe he may open up these waters. I'm not sure. He said he's going to. And then by day three, can you imagine what the conversation is? Nothing is happening. Does that sound like you and I? Does that sound like you and I? Nothing is happening. I don't see any water moving. I don't see anybody crossing over. I can see the promised land, but I can't see how I'm going to get from here to the other side. Somebody shout the other side. I don't know how I'm going to get from here to where? To the other side. So what do they see? They see a river that's in flood stage, the Bible says. I believe it's in verse 15. The banks are overflowing. There's no way to cross over. There's no little small bridge. There's no walkway. Nothing's been built. It is just a raging river. A river that's 150 miles long. You can't go around it. All you have to do to get to the other side is you're going to have to do what? You have to go through it. You're going to have to go through it. You're going to have to go through it. For you see, God has brought them to this place. God had brought the children of Israel. Standing between them and their promised land is the Jordan River. Standing between them and the promised land is this unquestionable, you have to trust me. You got to trust me. You got to know what I've said, and I am faithful to bring it to pass. For you see, there is many examples in the Bible, and I don't have time to go through all of them. Abraham and Sarah, they had a promise for God. I'm going to make you a great multitude. The price tag, infertility. Joseph, he had an incredible promise. God said, I'm going to elevate you. I'm going to promote you into a position of power and influence. The price tag, you're going to get lied on. You're going to get abandoned. You're going to get betrayed, and you're going to get forgotten. How about David? The promise, he was going to be the next king. Got the oil dumped on him in his daddy's house. What did they do? He had to go back out in the fields for 15 to 20, 25 years and do what? Go take care of the sheep. Me, I have the promise of Ephesians 1. I have an inheritance, the Bible says, laid up for me, for you. The price tag, it cost Jesus Christ everything. Cost him everything. So that you and I can have an inheritance. So that you and I can have a future, so that you and I can have eternity spent in heaven and not in hell. Amen? It cost him everything. Every promise has a Jordan River. Every promise has a price. This church and a journey that we've been on for 35 years as a church, we have a promised land over our house. Amen? God has promised great vision, huge vision over our house. But it's not just going to, the devil's just not going to give it to us. Have you noticed that? He's not going to just give you something. We are going to have to fight like never before. Amen? Not in our own strength. Not in our own ability. Not in our own words. Not on social media. Not on a website. But we're going to have to fight the way that you want us to. As a church, we have so much ahead of us. I'm so thankful for what's behind us. It gives you and I incredible confidence and strength. It gives us the knowing that, God, you got us. But Lord, where are you taking us? Amen? Where are you taking us? God's people can see, you and I can see the promised land, but there's a challenge, and it's called the Jordan River. Hey, listen, if you go flip over to back to verse 1. It says they camped right by the banks of the Jordan River, and I talked about this. They waited for 3 days. Think about what's happening in that moment. Think about the conversation I said earlier. Think about what's going through their mind. My question to you this morning is, what is the Jordan River that you are facing today? What's the Jordan River standing between what you know in your heart that God has said, but where you're at today? What do you have to cross over? What do you have to get through? What do you and I have to confront? How many know sometimes we have to confront some things in our life? How many of those things that we put a no trespassing sign on the inside of our souls because we will not allow the Holy Spirit to go there? You can do all this other stuff, but Holy Spirit, you can't touch that. God is looking today for you all. He's holding the mirror up to you and I. He wants to know, what is the Jordan River standing between you and the promise of God? Amen? And he wants to get that down in our souls this morning. For you see, on the other side of that promised land, it wasn't just, well, it was. It was a land of milk and honey. It was beautiful. It was amazing. But the Bible said there was seven nations, seven tribes on the other side of that land that they were going to have to fight. We'll talk about that in a future message. How many know God was having to prepare them, camping on the banks of the Jordan to get through in order to give them the momentum, the confidence? How many of y'all like football? Any football fans in the house? It's sort of like a preseason game, amen? That preseason game is God showing and demonstrating his faithfulness to go across the Jordan. Why? Because when they get across the Jordan, they got to do what? They got to fight. They got a war. They got a battle. Just because you got across the Jordan doesn't mean it's all a bunch of milk and honey and a bunch of bonbons and eating tubs of Ben and Jerry's ice cream. No, when you get across the Jordan, you're actually going to have to go fight. That's just the way God created us, man. Amen? God created us to be fighters, but not in the natural, in the spirit, amen? That's the spiritual truth for you and I. You know, one of the things that has been incredible over the last year and a half for me as I think through the miracle that Angie and I have walked through, and specifically the walk for me over the last year and a half, God provided, and I've shared this story a while ago, God provided me the ability to be here. And I don't have time to go into all the details, but I worked an incredible career for 20 years at an amazing company called Hewlett-Packard. They treated me incredibly well. And I just, but my heart was to actually come and build a church. And so I didn't know how God was going to do it. I didn't know when he was going to do it. I just had great faith that God, over the last 20 years, I've seen you, actually longer than that. God, I've seen your faithfulness. I've seen you open up doors and I've seen you close doors. So I just trust you. And so the short version is, HP, this is once again a year and a half ago, we were struggling in terms of the business was struggling, and it was right before COVID, and no one was printing, and that was the side of the business that I was on, a printing business. And so they started talking about needing to lay people off and about early retirement and all this other rumor. You know how rumors happen, amen? And so I was trying to be faithful. I was like, hey, I threw it out there. I said, hey, God, if there is a way somehow, some way that you can allow me to walk away from HP, retire at the tender age of 50 with 20 years of experience, I'll take it. I don't know how you're going to do it, because in the natural, financially, I'm not sure how this thing would work, because we've got a lot of debt hanging over our head from opening a business and other boneheaded financial decisions that we've made over the last few years, and way too many trips to Marshall's. I just threw that in by my wife. Sorry. That's why I was over here intentionally. But in all seriousness, I didn't know in the natural how God would do it, because it really would take something supernatural. So fast forward, roughly actually almost 2 years ago now, they sent a message out, hey, if you're interested in retiring, what was previously the retirement age of 55, and you had to have 25 years of experience, I wouldn't qualify. I'd seen many people that had taken advantage of that over the 20 years. And so I really, my hope kind of sank that, okay, I'm not going to qualify. Well, they lowered it. They lowered it to 20 years, and then they lowered it, you had to be 50. And so you had to qualify to meet those two qualifications. All that had to happen by October 31st of that year. Well, it just so happened that I turned 50 on October 26th. So I qualified. I threw my name in the hat. I said, God, you're doing something pretty crazy right now. I threw my name in the hat, and the rest is history. And so I got selected. They paid me out 9 months of salary. And so I walked out the door, and I've never looked back. Amen? And it's given me such great confidence that, God, if you can somehow orchestrate a Fortune 50 company to change their rules, which in 20 years, I'd never seen them change it. And I managed many people that had exited out and taken advantage. I've never seen them change it. I said, God, if somehow, some way you can orchestrate that, God, how much more can you be faithful to my wife and I right now, to our church right now? Amen? Amen? So I draw upon that strength that, God, if you can do it for me, then, God, you can do it for us now. Amen? If God can do it for you, then God can do it for you now. Can you shout amen? So how do I get through my Jordan Rivers? I'm glad you asked. Jordan Rivers can be something on your physical body. It can be a marriage. It can be your finances. It can be the call and the purposes of God over your life. Whatever it may be that you have to get across. In verse 4, I talked about it. It says, since you have never traveled this way before, they will guide you. In other words, God will guide you. I'm going to give you three P's. Three P's. Write them down. Three P's. These are imperatives. These are must-dos that are found in Joshua 3. You may have caught them already. I highlighted them as I was walking through that. Three things that you and I must do if we are going to get from here, right on the edge, right on the edge. Right on the edge of the Jordan River, and I can see my promised land. Three P's. The first one, write it down. The first one that you and I must do, according to the word of God, this is not Tim saying it, this is God's word saying it, we must pursue God's presence. Come on, capture that. We must pursue God's presence. It talked about in that first part of the Bible, in that first part of the story, the Ark of the Covenant. So what is the Ark of the Covenant? Well, it was a plain little box made from acacia wood. It was gold on the inside. On the inside of that box, it had the tablets, which represented the law. It had Aaron's rod that budded. It represented the power of God to use anything that he wants to accomplish his will. There was a pot of manna on the inside of that box. It represented God's provision over 40-plus years. And then on the top of that box was called the mercy seat. The Ark of the Covenant, what did it represent to God's people back then? It represented God himself, his presence. It represented his presence. It was representative of his presence. It was a symbol of God's dwelling with his people. It was a symbol that God's people honored. For you see, God said, don't go in the Jordan River without me. Don't do it. Don't go in the Jordan River. In verse 2, it talks about that, right? After 3 days when they had camped there, then Joshua, the God commanded him, pick up the ark. When you see the ark moving, then you move. In other words, don't start crossing that river. Don't go on day one or day two or day three. Only go when God's presence moves. Then do what? Pursue God's presence. In chapter 7, if you want to, once again, I encourage you to read the whole book. When Israel decided not to do it God's way, they got clobbered. They got slaughtered by a group of people. They got decimated. Why? Because God told them how to fight. I need to come with you. I must be with you. You do it my way, you win. You do it your way, you get what? You get clobbered. You get slaughtered. For you see, God says that you and I will get through this. But we must follow his presence. We must follow God's leading. The only way you're going to get through it is with God living, breathing, talking, being on the inside of you. Can you shout amen? That's the only way you and I are going to get from here to our promised land. See, what makes you special is not the color of your skin, not your fancy education, not the degrees on your wall, not your car, not your house, not your mama, your daddy, nothing. What makes you special is the God that is on the inside of you, God's presence. And the Bible says that when you get born again, guess what you get? You get all of God. You get all of Jesus. You get a full download of God's presence living on the inside of you. Amen? That means you don't have to look a certain way, talk a certain way. You don't only have to come from the right side of the road. All you have to do is follow his presence. Number two, purify yourself. I may step on a few toes, so I'm going to apologize in advance. But I don't really care because this is God's word and this is God's command to you and I. Purify yourself, or another version says consecrate yourself. It means to wash, it means to purify, it means to make clean. The Hebrew word sanctify means to set apart for God's purpose, for God's use. For you see, it's a command, it's not a suggestion. Did you catch that? God didn't say, hey, if you feel like purifying yourself, if you think you're all put together on the outside, this doesn't really apply to you. No, God said to all the people, you must purify yourself. If you are going to go from here to there, you got to follow God's presence and you got to do what? You got to purify yourself. You got to make this clean. But you see, here's the problem that we have that I've done this. I'm assuming you've done this. That somehow, some way, I want God's blessing, but I'm not willing to confront the sin in my life. I want God to bless my marriage. I want God to bless my kids. I want God to bless my ministry. I want God to bless my life. I want God to bless my church, but I am not willing to submit myself to the purification process of the Holy Spirit. And you and I are fooling ourselves. It's somehow, somebody, you think we're going to get from here to there if we're dragging sin. I don't know about you, but I, as a church, I want us to pursue God's presence, and I want us to live a holy life. Listen to me. Everybody sins. Everybody. So don't feel like I'm oh man, Tim's coming. No. What I am saying is that we can't have mixture. Amen. I can't be saying, oh God, will you bless me? Will you just bless me with a new job? But I've got sin in my life because I don't tithe. I got sin in my life because I rob. I got sin in my life because I cheat. It doesn't work that way, y'all. It does not work that way. Listen, I have to purify myself. For you see, there's grace. I love the grace of God. How many of y'all love the grace of God? I love the grace of God. But you cannot effectively walk in the grace of God unless you know what you're getting grace for. Thank you for one amen. Let me say it again. You and I can't walk and experience the grace of God unless you and I confront, unless you and I be real, unless you and I be transparent about what we need the grace of God for. Amen? And I don't know about you, but I never, ever, ever want to do this thing called life while I'm walking on planet Earth without the grace of God. Can you shout amen? Paul says, where sin increases, grace much more abounds. It much more increases. So in other words, no matter how big your pit is, God says he's right there with you. Amen. No matter how much you think you're jacked up, God says, no. My grace is bigger. But he's not going to allow you to stay in your pit and somehow think that God is just going to keep blessing upon you. You will be standing at the same place a year from now, looking, hoping, wanting, believing, whining, complaining about my stat, where I'm at. You and I as a church, we have to raise our standard of who we are. in Christ Jesus. I don't ever want to be trapped in comparing my life, my walk, my decisions by the world. Why? Have you noticed something? Have you noticed that, and maybe it's just me, I'm becoming more and more desensitized to the dark all around me. On TV, my God, there is just some crap on TV. In conversations, on social media. Now, granted, none of that is bad, the platforms. It's what's going on, what's in the content that you and I become desensitized. We took a walk down to the park, my daughter and I, which, hey, by the way, I encourage you to go down Bayview Park. I've not been down to Bayview Park in years. Actually, it's a sad story. When I went to Bayview Park, I was underage and drinking. I hope my parents aren't watching this. That was years ago, before Jesus. Literally, that's the last time I've been down to Bayview Park. And I've heard horror stories like, oh, you don't want to go down to Bayview Park. It was beautiful. Beautiful. And I'm walking down the boardwalk with Sophia, and she's been asking me for weeks, hey, Daddy, come on, I want to go down there. I said, let's do it. And so we're walking around the boardwalk. This is how this stuff creeps up on you. And I'm looking at all the spray painting on the boardwalk. And I come to this just disgusting set of words on the boardwalk. And my daughter was in front of me. And I just walking, you know, I walked by other words, but not nearly as bad. And I saw up ahead, I saw that word, and I just kept walking. I said, and the Holy Spirit convicted me. You need to sprint ahead of your daughter so she doesn't see what that word is. Because I've just gotten desensitized. Walking along the boardwalk and all the some of the spray painting words. Not all of it was something. Some of it was bad. A lot of it wasn't. But how many, you know, it's subtle. It's subtle, y'all. And so I did that. I grabbed her. I said, hey, I redirected her eyeballs. I didn't want my daughter seeing that word and asking me, hey, what is that? Are you guys with me? I don't know about you, but as a dad, I'm going to protect my daughter. As a dad, I'm going to protect my kids. Amen. I'm going to protect your kids as a pastor as well. Amen. And so I'm not going to let, that was a golf clap, by the way. I'm not going to let my daughter or your son be exposed or see something that they don't have the grace to understand or carry, then nor should they ever. Amen. Can I have an amen? For you see, we can never claim the blessings of God and do life on my terms. There's a correlation I have discovered, and Ange mentioned it earlier about Women's Freedom Weekend coming up in mid-October, 15th, 16th, something like that. I've been to many, many, many Freedom Weekends, and I can tell you there's a correlation between me when I pursue the presence of God, when I pursue holiness. Freedom Weekends are incredible, y'all. I cannot tell you, ladies, how important it is to go spend 2 days or 3 days, 2 nights just pursuing the cross. Having an experience where you cry, you laugh, you get in the Word of God, you strip everything down, all the things that so distract you, and you just have an encounter with Jesus himself. I can't tell you how powerful that is. And for me personally, every time I've come out of one of these Freedom Weekends, there's a correlation between me pursuing the purity of God, me pursuing the holiness of God, me pursuing the cross, me crucifying, me filling out that spiritual profile. I've done it 35 times, but I never, 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 never want to get used to it. I want to give God everything that I struggle with. God, I want to give you everything, Father God, that I know the world's trying to tempt me to do. So Lord, I just come to you during a Freedom Weekend and I lay it at your feet. And when I walk out of that, come on, if you've been to a Freedom Weekend, you know what I'm talking about. Thank you. When you walk out of that Freedom Weekend, I'm telling you, there is, man, you can go, you can walk on water. You don't need God moving the water apart. I wouldn't recommend that, but hey, because there's just such great faith. There's an anointing that comes in. There's a power that comes in you. Why? Because you've been purified. You've been purified. You have been purified. My question to you is, what areas in your life do you need God to come and purify. Pride will kill you. Pride will send you to hell. Ooh, Tim, that's hard. I didn't write it. I'm just reading it. Amen? Pride will cause you and I to fall. I have to humble myself. I have to be real. I have to be transparent. Hey, newsflash. God already knows your heart. God already knows you. He already knows your fears, your struggles, your sin issues. Do you and I have those things? Yes. Why? We're human. This is a flawed vessel. But in Christ, somebody say, but Christ. But in Christ, all things have become new. Amen? I become a new creature. In other words, I don't have to be defined by that old man. I can be purified. I can look like Christ. Last one. Number three. First thing, we're going to pursue God's presence. The only way you're going to get from here to your promised land is you got to pursue God's presence. The second thing you must do, the Bible says, you have to purify yourself. Mixture won't count. Mixture won't work. You can't be some holy person on Sunday, and on Tuesday you're shacking up with your girlfriend. You can't be a believer on Sunday, and then on Thursday you are drunk as a skunk. Passed out. That's mixture, y'all. God's never pleased with that. I'm pushing our church in a direction to pursue God, His presence. I'm raising the standard to our church of what it means to be purity. I didn't say perfect. I said to be pure. There's a difference. Are you hearing me, church? The only way that you and I are going to accomplish everything that God has hanging over this house, God has to be in it, and we have to walk in purity. Are you with me? I know it's hard. I know it's difficult. Some of y'all have been dragging things around for years. And it's the same reason that you're whining and complaining, and still you got your toes right here, the water's here, the Jordan's here, your promised land's over here, but you will not deal with what has been hanging over your life for years. Amen? If we've got the first two, the last one is you've got to put your feet in the water. You got to put your feet in the water. In other words, you have to have some Joshua 1 courage. Remember, we talked about that. God said,
Joshua, be strong.
Ooh, that's really cool. Let's do that again.
Joshua, be strong and courageous.
Can't you hear like the voice of God coming over, right? Don't you wish God would speak to you that way? Instead, he says to me, hey, dummy. It's just me, I know. I mean, yeah, all you saints are all purified and holy and pursuing God, and you're all good. But he says,
hey, dummy.
You know? Hey, you with the size 13s. I really do wear size 13s, by the way. Hey, you with the size 13s, you will have to be a little more courageous. Quit worrying about things that you don't have any control over. Quit walking in fear. Amen? Quit walking in fear. God gave the Israelites, gave Joshua the instructions. He said in verse 14, he said, move. He said, move. It's going to take courage, but move. Don't analyze it. Don't speculate on it. Don't ask five people. Don't post a question on Facebook what you should do. But God says, move your feet. Follow the ark. Purify yourself. And move. What we want to do, thank you, I will. What we want to do is we want to ask 10 people what we should do. I'm guilty. I love my wife. She's incredible, a lot of wisdom. She shops way too much, but that's part of the altar call this morning. Hey, y'all, what is the deal with these Ray Dunn mugs? So she comes back from a trip last night from Orlando, and she's got two. Do you know what I'm talking about, the Ray Dunn mugs? Yeah, John, I didn't either. I had to get educated. But they're these fancy coffee mugs, and it's like a print, and I'm blaming Karina. She's unleashed this ungodly addiction to Ray Dunn stuff. And Karina's got so much Ray Dunn stuff that she's having to give it away to make room for more Ray Dunn stuff. What is wrong with this? So my wife is now sipping the Kool-Aid of Karina, and so she comes home with two more cups. I'm like, honey, where are you going to put them? See the cabinet? There's no more space. There is no more space for more Ray Dunn cups. Amen? You got to pray for me. You got to pray for me. And I have no idea where I was going with that, but it's all good. You got to have courage, y'all. You and I have to have courage. Courage, the definition, I found this. Courage, I love this. Courage is the gap between God's call in you and I's life in my capacity to make it happen. Woo! I highlighted that. I wrote that down on a sticky, and I just been meditating on all that all week long. Let me say it again. Courage, the definition, is the gap between God's call to do whatever he's called you and I to go do and my capacity to make it happen. I don't know about you, but I want the courage of God like never before working in my life. God, I know this looks crazy, but I'm going to follow your presence. I'm going to purify myself. I'm going to allow you, Holy Spirit, to come on the inside of me to give me the courage to walk across. For you see, it must have taken a long time for those priests who were carrying that ark, sitting in the middle of that river. Wall of water, dry riverbed. The Bible estimates there may have been close to 1 million or 2 million people at that time that had to walk across that dry riverbed. That takes a long time to get 1 million or 2 million people across a river. Amen? It takes a long time for that to happen. I got to think that at times, the priests were a little nervous as these walls of water were pushing in hour after hour after hour. They held onto the ark because they believed God would protect them, that God is faithful. What he said he would do, he will do. I speak that over your house this morning. I speak that over your marriage this morning. I speak that over your job situation. I speak that over your finances this morning. I speak that over your doctor's report this morning. I speak that over the call and the purposes of God. I speak that over the destiny. I speak that over the vision of this house. I speak that over every nation that we've yet to go on. I speak that over every missionary that we support. I speak that over every man, woman, and child in the sound of my voice this morning. That God, you are faithful. As long as we do it your way, God, you will protect us. God, we will purify ourselves. And God, we will get our feet wet. Yes. I want to have wet feet faith. I want to lead a church that's willing. They may not have it all put together. We may not know all the I's and all the T's, but God, we trust you. God, we are walking in purity like never before. We are pursuing your presence, and we're going after the heart of God like never before. Yeah, we may be a mismatched bunch, but just like Gideon, he didn't need 32,000. All he needed was 300. I'll take you. I'll take you. I'll take you. I'll take you. Why? Because I'm willing, and you got to be willing to put your feet in the water. The Bible says faith without works is absolutely useless. For you see, you and I will never accomplish God's promises until you and I put God to the test. If there's ever a season in our house in 35 plus years that we have been tested, today is the day. But I'm telling you, I'm even more confident that God is able. He has made us more than a conqueror, y'all. That we don't have to back down from any fight as long as we do it God's way. As long as I walk, you walk in purity. God says, put your feet in the water. For you see, Jesus is our example of being courageous. He took the biggest risk for you and I, that he died so that you and I can experience eternity, freedom, purity. For you see, without the shed blood of Jesus, you and I had no hope. Without the shed blood of Jesus, you and I can't come to this altar this morning, lift our hands, drop on our knees, ask him to forgive us, ask him to wash you clean, make your nasty garments clean again. For you see, without the shed blood of Jesus to a man that knew no sin, you and I would be hopeless this morning. But I'm thankful that there is hope for you and I this morning. His name is Jesus. But it's going to cause you and I to be courageous. It's going to cause you and I to rise up. It's going to cause you and I to fight like never before. Fight for our church. Fight for your marriage. Fight for your family. Fight for your home. For you see, we live in a generation today that everything we want, easy. I just finished reading a story to you where it didn't come easy. For God's people, it was only step one. They still had a fight when they got across that river. They still had a fight to face an enemy that hated them. They had to face an enemy that was outmanned, that they had more weapons, they had more training. They're waiting on them. God put God's people right at the edge, looking across their promised land, looking right in the face of their enemies, and God said, move. Move. Purify yourself. Follow his presence. Stand on your feet, church. Come on, just right where you're standing. Come on, I feel the Spirit of God just drop in this room. Ooh. Holy Spirit, I feel the weight on my heart right now. God, you're a jealous God. Oh, God. God, you don't want anybody, Father God, to walk out of this room, Lord. Weighed down, confused, without hope. Oh, come on, just close your eyes right where you're standing. Nobody leaving. Just give me a couple minutes. Come on, let the dealings of God work in this room. Work through the power of that camera this morning. In your living room, in your car. Come on, Holy Spirit. Father, we want to be people of your presence. God, we want to walk in purity this morning. And God, we want to get our feet wet like never before. Oh, Holy Spirit, come. Holy Spirit, come. Father, these are not my words, these are your words. Come on, convict us. Change us. Holy Spirit, confront us with our sin, our issues, our pettiness, our unforgiveness, our ego. Destroy our pride today, God. Lord, I call upon the Holy Spirit to rip up anything that doesn't look like you. I ask the Holy Spirit, have your way in us. Man, I don't know about you, but I feel the pull of God right now. Come on, Holy Spirit. Come on, lift your hands, church. Come on, lift your hands. Come on, right where you're standing this morning. Come on, there's a purifying happening in the atmosphere right now. There's a purifying happening right now in the heart of a man right now. What you do behind closed doors, God sees. But you don't have to stay that way, man of God. You don't have to walk around with that struggle anymore. Woman of God, He knows your heart. He hears your cry. He's asking you to move. Move. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, all over this room. Come on, right at your seat. Ask the Holy Spirit to search your heart, to purify your life. What are your sin struggles? I break cycles off of our church. I break cycles off of our church. In the name of Jesus, I break addictions off of our church. Men and women that are bound up by drugs, pornography, alcohol, lying, cheating, stealing, abuse, I break them in the name of Jesus. And by the power of the blood of Jesus, I speak to men that are unfaithful. I speak to women that are bound up, abused, hurt, running, scared, fearful. We break that off of our house right now in the name of Jesus. Come on, if I'm talking to you, you want to be free this morning, whatever it may be. You want to be free, will you meet me down at this altar? Will you just be raw, real, transparent with God this morning? I'm not going to call you out. I'm not going to call you out. This is between you and your Heavenly Father. But I want you to have a confrontation right down here at this altar. Come on, right down here at this altar. Between you and the Holy Spirit. Come on, who are you? Are you telling me we got four people in the sound of my voice, five people, only five people dealing with sin issues this morning? That you want to be free. You want to be pure. You want to walk in holiness. Come on, I'm going to wait just another 60 seconds. I'm coming down front. I'm going to be down here. Because I want God, I want you to know I am serious about walking in purity. About walking in holiness. And we are crossing over. Come on, I want you just a few more minutes. We're crossing over, church. We're crossing over. We're crossing over. We're crossing over. We're crossing over. Sing a worship team. Come on, the blood of Jesus. We speak the blood of Jesus. Come on, lift your hands. Declare the blood of Jesus. Father, in this atmosphere. Come on, let's make a corporate prayer right now. Say, Holy Spirit. Come on, everybody, say, Holy Spirit. I cry out to you right now. Come on, everybody, I cry out to you right now. I make a fresh decision. Come on, I make a fresh decision to pursue the presence of God, to purify my life, and to get my feet wet. I choose today. Shout it, I choose today. Shout it, I choose today. I choose you, Lord. I choose your purpose. I choose your process. Because I'm crossing over. Woo! Because I'm crossing over. Because I'm crossing over. Shout it, because I'm crossing over. In Jesus' name. Oh, Father, we thank you for your hand. Lord, we thank you for your work. Father, we thank you for your word. God, we ask you, Lord, at this altar this morning, free, deliver, make whole, make new, in the name of Jesus. Come on, let's sing this again right before we leave. Come on, worship team. Everybody sing it together. Raise your hands. Lift your voice.